The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. This Easter season, we've been looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and its great effects upon us and upon creation. And today, I'd like to look with you at how God has brought joy into our lives through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Check this out. Listen to this verse from John chapter 16, which we just read. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says of his death and resurrection, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is in travail, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she's delivered of the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a child is born into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Today I'd like to talk with you about the joy of the Christian. Is that the kind of joy that you have in your life? A joy that nobody and nothing can take away from you? That transcends every human experience, be it good or bad, and overcomes all things? How would you rate your level of joy today on a scale of 1 to 10. To be honest, most of us would not give a 10. But I want to ask you, do you think that God wants you to have great joy in your life? Is the Christian life about joy? Do you think that you can find joy in Jesus today in this service and for the rest of your life in his death and resurrection in presence with you? A joy that nothing in life and no one can ever take away from you. That overcomes everything. So today I'd like to talk with you about joy. The joy of the Christian. What has God to say to us about joy in his word, the scriptures? Well, first off, I think we need to know the answer to a very simple question. Does God really want us to have joy in life or not? You know, there's this sort of teaching out there that the Christian life, you know, it's wrong, but it's just sort of drudgery, and you have to be sorrowful and mournful and all these kinds of things. Does God really want you to have joy in your life or not? Well, that answer is very brief and easy to answer. John 16, once again, Jesus says to his disciples, "So you have sorrow now, but I'll see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Does God want us to have joy in life, friends? Absolutely, certainly, yes. He gave it to his disciples. He wants to give it to you. But the problem is that a lot of us don't experience much joy in our lives. In fact, this world, as you know, is filled with all kinds of sorrows and things that can make us sorrowful. Think about the American College Health Association survey from 2012. I'm sure you're all reading that this morning. But among college students, listen to these statistics. 46% of students in colleges feel hopeless. 87% overwhelmed. 86% exhausted. 57% very lonely. 61% very sad. And children, it happens the same with them. Adults, it happens the same with them. Even Christians, we wrestle with sorrow a lot in this life, and perhaps we have to wrestle with it even more, because at least the world is going along with their pleasures and their passions. We fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so perhaps we even wrestle with more sorrow. I want to ask you this next question then. Why is there so little joy in the world? Why is there so much sorrow? Well, the answer is because we're living in a sinful world. Sin brings sorrow. God is a God of joy. The devil's job at the very beginning of the world was to do what? Go up to Eve, saunter up to her, a very crafty serpent he was, and say, "You know, God, he's a killjoy. He's not after joy. I'll give you real joy. Go ahead and bite of this fruit. You know, you will not die. God's holding out on you. And the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good or evil." What did he do? The devil's job is always to do what? Take sin and promise joy. If you bite into this, you'll get joy. It'll bring you happiness and fulfillment. And what do we see? All of his promises are always empty. When they bit of that fruit, it didn't bring them joy. It ended up in sorrow, guilt, fear, sadness, and death. They hid from one another in fear, in shame, and guilt. They hid from God behind the trees of the garden. I want you to know the devil is the destroyer of all happiness. Sin brings sorrow, guilt, fear, and all these things, and still the same lie is perpetrated on the world. That charlatan is still trying his same tricks, and he's getting the same things. Say, go after lust, go after pride, go after covetousness, go after self-glory. Come on, it's going to give you joy. God's a killjoy, don't follow him. But what we end up seeing behind the mask, he's the grim reaper. And all of his lies are empty promises. So why do we have sorrow in the world? Because sin is in the world, friends. And why do we have sorrow? Well, there's a number of things we get sorrow over that rob us of joy. Number one, our own sins. Do you remember your sins of your life that you've committed? Consider David said in Psalm 32, when I declared not my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. You felt that when you have sins? And you feel that guilt and shame? Yes, that's sorrow. How about when we see sickness, sin in other people? That brings us sorrow. You looked at the news this morning? How many of you look at the news and go, yeah, what a great world we're living in? When you look at what's going on in the world, even unbelievers get sorrowful. And how much more the righteous who have a real sensitivity to sin. How about when you see sin in your family members? They have a marriage that ends in divorce or adultery. They seek after lies. They don't believe. They go after pride. How does that make you feel? It brings sorrow and robs joy. How about the effects of sin in the world? Sometimes you're not even suffering for sin, but you're just in a sinful world. You get sick. You get old. Eventually, you die. There's a breakdown in the world of all things, even in creation. That brings sorrow. And we also have sorrow because all the joys in this life, earthly joys, are fleeting. They change with the seasons. Who won the Super Bowl last year?
Ravens.
Okay, took you a second. You got the. How about 2 years ago?
Ravens.
Okay, 3 years ago? Guess what? All those joys that people have in, like, sporting events, they fade away. Even in a birth or a birthday, it fades away. A camping trip, it's happy for the moment, but it fades away. And that's why Solomon tells us in Proverbs 14, even in laughter the heart is sad, and the end of joy is grief. And besides all this, we have sorrow in our Christian lives when we're wrestling against sin in our own flesh, which we are now wrestling and fighting against. Don't you feel sorrowful when you see the sin that's still in you and you're like, ah, I wish I could just be righteous all the time and pure and clean? And so Paul says, I don't understand my own actions, Romans 7. I don't do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I that do it, but sin which dwells within me. So, the world we're living in, friends, is full of a lot of sorrows, things that can depress us, and every earthly joy is fleeting. So much for the devil's promises. But nevertheless, God wants us to be a joyful people, right? What do we read in the scriptures? Psalm 32. God says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. That's what God wants for you. And Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. That's God's will for you. He delights in that because he's a God of joy. Now, does that mean that you can never be depressed or down in your life as a Christian? Remember that song, that children's song? Since Jesus Christ came in and cleansed my heart from sin, I made right upright, upright, downright happy all the time. Hey! Is that the Christian life, that you're in right, out right, upright, downright happy all the time? That's impossible. That's plastic. That's unreal. It's unrealistic. When we have troubles and sorrows in life, consider Job's life. His children are killed by a tornado. His wife curses him. He's got boils, or says him to curse God. He has boils in his skin. He's not going to say, I'm in right, out right, upright, downright happy all the time. God has given you all kinds of emotions. It's okay to have a good day. It's okay to be down and a little sorrowful another day when something bad happens. Jesus himself, it says in Scripture, Isaiah 53, was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. At the tomb of Lazarus, remember, he saw the Jews weeping and Mary weeping, and Jesus was deeply moved and troubled in spirit, and he cried as well. Jesus wept. So God validates every emotion that you have, that you can express. He has them too. He put them in you. Nevertheless, God wants you to be joyful. And he has given you, friends, in Jesus Christ, a joy that goes beyond all surface emotions, that goes beyond all surface circumstances, that goes higher than this earth. A joy that no one and nothing can take away from you. Amen. So how do we get that joy? First thing you need to understand is that your God is a God of joy, not a God of sorrow. Now, the devil wants to come around and tell you, oh, that Christian God, he's a God of killjoy. He's a sorrowful God. He's a God of sorrow. I'm the God of joy and fun. Friends, that's not true. God, Scripture says, is a God of joy. You need to get that into your mind. 1 Corinthians 16, we read this. First Chronicles 16 says this. The Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. What's in his place? Whoever he is, there is joy, because he's the God of joy. Do you know that he put joy in his creation? Psalm 65 says, you make the outgoings of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. It says, you deck the valleys with green. They shout together and sing together for joy. Heard the birds yesterday morning. You guys been listening to the birds? They sound so chipper. The chipping sparrow, right? They sound so joyful. God has put their songs into them to awake you to praise in the morning. His whole creation sings it. How about in the evening? He gives you those spring peepers, the frogs, remember, in the north? How beautiful they lull you to sleep in the crickets. He's a God of peace and joy. There's joy in his creation. You know there's also joy in heaven amongst his angels? God said to Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. There was shouting for joy in heaven at God. Do you know he puts joy into the hearts of his people? David says in Psalm 4, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. God delights to put joy into the hearts of the saints, his people. And how about the Christian life? I think some of us, maybe this is one reason we don't have a lot of joy in the Christian life. We misunderstand it. The devil's come along as a trickster once again to deceive you and say, oh, the Christian life, mournful, sad, very, very dark, and sort of you walk a very dark and lonesome path. Well, at times indeed, it is the valley of the shadow of death. It is difficult. But do you think perhaps we labor under some vestiges of some old erroneous Roman Catholic monkery? And you whip yourself. And that's what the Christian life is about? Flagellation, self-beatings, depression, being down. You know, I think some of us labor under an idea that as Christians, we have to go about as sad. But once again, the Scriptures declare, and that's got to be our final authority, that God's a God of joy, that where he is, there's joy. He wants joy in his people. And let's see the Christian life described by the apostles. Okay? Bible. That's where we got to go for this stuff. Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say, rejoice is the Christian life. Let's look at another apostle, James. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let's look at another apostle. Let's look at John. John says here, oops, that's Peter. Here's John. He says, we proclaim to you that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We're writing this that our joy may be complete. Peter tells you of the Christian life. Without having seen him, Jesus, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. And as the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls. And Paul says, we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. And the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, if the scriptures are final authority and tells us the truth, would you say the Christian life is about joy?
Amen.
Every apostle mentions it. Jesus says, I'm saying these things to you, that in me you may have joy and your joy be complete. God the Father gives you joy. Jesus gives you joy. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. And the apostles, or Jesus says, sorry, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1 to the Thessalonians, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit. So that is the Christian life, friends. Even though we wrestle with sorrows, and it's always going to be mixed with some sorrow in this life, the valley of the shadow of death, but nevertheless, God wants to give you joy. Now, I want to talk with you now about how to have a joy that is beyond all earthly circumstances, beyond Super Bowls and camping trips and fun times, a joy that takes you even into the darkest places and your joy is not taken away from you. What are the three places you can be sorrowful? I was thinking about this week. There are only three ways you can be sorrowful. You can be sorrowful at your past, your former sins and your regrets. You can be sorrowful at your present, over the troubles that you're experiencing. You can be sorrowful over the future, over what you fear there. Three places to be sorrowful. I announced to you, Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus turns your sorrow into joy in all three places. Let's take first of all your past. Let's say you sinned. We've all sinned, fallen short of God's glory, but you're haunted by your past. You remember your former sins. They grieve you. You feel a darkness come over your present moment because you are afraid and your former sins haunt you as dark things. But then let's see how Jesus turns that sorrow into joy. Because, friends, he's the restorer of joy to your soul. We read in Luke chapter 2, the angel came to the shepherds. And what did he say? Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What's that message again? It's a message of great joy. I love that in the Bible, exceedingly great joy. Wouldn't you like to say I have exceedingly great joy today? Why is there great joy? Because a Savior has been born. This is someone to cover your sins of your past. That's the great joy God gives. And it was planned to you long ago. We read in the Bible, Isaiah 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Watch this. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased its joy. A few verses later, why? Because unto us a son, a child is born, a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Why can you have peace? Because he's a Savior. Do you accept that today? The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Friends, Jesus Christ came to give you joy over your past. Your past that haunts you. Your past that brings you into sorrow and grief and sadness. A Savior has been born to cover that and to turn your sorrow into joy through the forgiveness of your sins. Here's the gospel, the good news. Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. With his stripes, we're healed. For every one of us has gone astray like sheep. We've wandered each to his own way into sin. And the Lord God has laid upon Jesus, him, the iniquity, the sins of us all. It's forgiveness of sins. Will you let God forgive you your sins today? Come to him repenting of your sins, believing on Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the scripture says, for our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, even though he didn't know any sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, for God was reconciling the world to himself in Jesus, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Do you know how free you would be right at this very moment if you would let your past be entirely forgiven? You know how free you would feel? How joyful you would feel? Forgiveness of sins past, that's been God's plan for you. When you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, how strange it would be for you to linger in terrible regret, because Jesus came to restore you to joy, that you would glory in him, saying, oh my God, he forgave it all. My whole past is washed whiter than snow and cleaner than the beach on a morning after a storm. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. Check this verse out. Okay, ready? Jesus said in Luke 15, just so I tell you, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. There's more what? What are the angels doing in heaven when a sinner repents? They're having a party. Jesus is the chief of the party. The angels are rejoicing, and you're the center of attention. That they are rejoicing in your salvation. How strange then that you go to your own party, sad and mournful, when Jesus and the angels are rejoicing. Wouldn't that be weird? Come on, if God is rejoicing in a party for you, and you're still living in regrets and sorrows, you've missed the whole thing. Come on. God has forgiven you your sins. What if my daughter, Naomi, whom I love, sinned in some way against me, and I forgave her by grace, and then she continued to mourn about and be sad? How would that make me as the father feel? I'd be distraught because I forgave her, that we enter into joy together. Jesus turns your sorrows into joy through his cross. Paul says in Ephesians 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. It's like pouring a bowl of water upon you till you are overflowing with grace. I'll greatly rejoice in the Lord, says Isaiah. My soul shall exult in God, for he's clothed me with the garments of the salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Do you let God do that for you right now? Do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yes. He comes to wash everything. My God, he's forgiven me everything. Rejoice in the freedom of the Christian. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. So that's your past. Behind you is a clean slate in Jesus Christ. He has turned it into joy. How about your present? In our present, we have our own troubles, don't we? You could probably enumerate them for me. I could enumerate you mine. Fears and troubles in the present. Think about how Jesus now, your Savior, lives with you in the present and turns your sorrow into joy. I'm alone, God. No, you're not. I'm with you always, to the close of the age. I'm helpless, Lord. No, you're not. I'm your shield. Fear not. Your reward shall be very great. I'm suffering persecution, Lord. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. But I can't do this, Lord. I can't do what's before me. I can't overcome it. I'm not able. I can't succeed. Don't say that. You can do all things in him who strengthens you. But Lord, my prayers are not heard. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. My enemies surround me, though, Lord, but I prepare a table before you in the midst of your enemies. I anoint your head with oil. Your cup overflows. But I fail. I fall. I'm hopeless. I say to you of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he'll come and save you. Do you see how Jesus, in your present moment, if you just know that he's with you, because of his death and resurrection, and he's redeemed you, his promise, he never leaves you. And therefore, what have you to be sorrowful in the present moment? If God is with you, who can be against you? Who can conquer the sons of God? David says, you've put more joy, God, in my heart than the unbelievers do when their grain and wine abound. Let this be his word to you. Jesus' death and resurrection victory bring you joy in your present as well. It can't conquer you. How about your future? We all have fears over what may come to us. I'm afraid, God, of what may come. My body's getting weaker. Darker days, trouble, a dark future, and death at the end. And I sound like Winston Churchill. Do you guys fear the future? Do you think about what might happen to you? How dark it may come? Is there a gloomy cloud hanging over your future? Do you know Jesus turns your sorrow into joy and opens all those things? He says, listen, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil. Plans to give you a future and a hope. But I'm sorrowful about it. I'm getting older, God. My body's not working as it should be. God says, no, says Jesus. You're getting younger by the day. Really? Yes. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day. Do you know that as a Christian, the older you get, the younger you get? You're getting newer, just like Naaman the Syrian who had leprosy. He came out of that water like the flesh of a newborn baby, like Jordan there, right? But what if I suffer terribly, Lord, in the days to come? This slight momentary affliction is preparing for you an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. But I'm afraid of death. Thy dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. O dwellers in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for thy dew is a dew of light, and on the land of the shades thou wilt let it fall. The resurrection is coming, says your king. And we know, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over death. What's so dark about your future? But I'll be alone, God. You'll never be alone, says Jesus. You have sorrow now, but I'll see you again. And your hearts will rejoice. And no one will be able to take away your joy from you. You have, friends, freedom in your past and the forgiveness of your sins. They're covered. You have freedom in your present. Jesus is with you and will never leave or forsake you. You have freedom in your future. It's covered entirely by his promises. What is there not for you to rejoice in? Isaiah 35, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. They shall obtain joy and gladness, says Isaiah, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. God's prepared for you a kingdom on his day, friends, that has no end. That's your future in Christ, a kingdom of light and joy and peace. And so I liken us to women who lost their car keys, and they go running all over the house. They go back to the YMCA with their husbands to find it, out into the field, into the counter, into the children's bedroom. When finally she finds her keys in her purse, they were with her all along. God has so surrounded you, friends, in joy. In Jesus Christ. It's behind you. It's in your present. It's in your future. It's everywhere around you if you but open up your eyes and look. And here's the key that I want you to understand. Your joy in life is equal to your faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you will not let the knowledge that you are redeemed go in deep into your soul, you will ever be sad and wondering and guiltful. But if you let his words of grace come into you, you will say, in Christ I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed in him who gave his life for me. And in that I rejoice. And God says, a cheerful heart is a good medicine. It'll bless all of your life. For God is with you and loves you in Jesus. But a downcast spirit dries up the bones. So what shall we say then? In this life, you'll always have a mixture of sorrow and joy. But God has given you a joy that no one can take away from you. The joys of this life, the Super Bowl and the camping trips come and go. But what your joy is based on is something that can never change. Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, and his love and faithfulness to you. In the gospel that he's given you. And in that we rejoiced in our past, in our present, and in our future. Yes, so you have sorrow now, says Jesus, but I'll see you again. And your hearts will rejoice. And no one and nothing will ever be able to take your joy away from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey.